This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Are you blessed with a lot of patience? We're going to talk about patience in the sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have redeemed us to be your children. And as your children, you have admonished us as to how we should live. One of these admonishments is, be patient. And yet, O God, we see how often we fall short. So from your word today, help us with this matter. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, cause us to be patient. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Continuing our study in the book of James, we turn to chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his chosen treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As I gaze, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation.
Friends in Christ, Pete is a great fellow to be with when everything is going well. But let something go wrong in his life, and look out. Words will flow from his mouth that will be crushing, and you will witness a behavior that is most frightening. When Pete returns to his, quote, old self, people make excuses for him. His wife, who is filled with embarrassment over his behavior, will say, "I don't like what he does, but that husband of mine has such strong convictions on this subject that he simply has to express them. And when he does, he loses control of himself, and it is embarrassing. He feels terribly about it after it's all over." A good friend, observing Pete in one of these tantrums, says, "Yeah, that's Pete. I grew up with him, and he hasn't changed a bit. We kids just learned to accept him for what he was." A day or two after the explosion, Pete comes around and apologizes for his tantrum. "That's the way I am. I've always had a short fuse, and it isn't getting any longer. I guess I'll always be that way. I guess I'll die with this temper of mine." The last statement is not true if Pete is a Christian. God's will is that Pete will grow up in his faith. This behavior is not pleasing to God, nor is it appropriate for those who confess Christ as his or her Savior. It is true that Pete might always have to fight this sin of temper, but he cannot accept this pattern of behavior and settle down to make it his accepted lifestyle. That is what James is teaching us today as we continue with our series on Christian living. Notice the words of our text. James writes, "Be patient, then, brothers." And he should say sisters, too, for our day. Be patient. That's one of the characteristics of your personality. That word, brothers, sisters, tells us that James is talking to Christians. He's not out addressing the world, those people who never met Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ becomes a part of your life, there'll be some changes. And patience is a sign of Christian maturity. The scriptures are full of texts that deal with patience. Paul, for example, writes to the Romans, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." And later on, the apostle writes a letter to the Thessalonians, and he says to those people there in Thessalonica, "Be patient with everyone." Now, you might ask, isn't that going just a little bit too far? How can you be patient with those who live contrary to God's word in such a consistent manner? The dictionary tells us that patience is defined as self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate against a wrong. It does not mean that we are to overlook what is wrong or to make excuses for it. It does mean that we will deal with the subject in kindness, seeking to help the person involved. Impatience, then, often reveals itself in anger and temper outbursts. It is interesting as we examine our lives and the lives of other people to see what we become impatient with. While we often know that we are impatient with God, the people in James' congregation were growing impatient with him. He writes, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is soon." The early Christians thought that Jesus was going to return soon, and then they were going to take him to heaven. But he didn't come, and he didn't come. And more of them suffered, and many of them died. They died, they were suffering terribly because they were identified with Jesus Christ. And so they would sometimes ask the question, how long is this going to go on? Where is this Savior who said he was coming back soon? Why does he tell us that he's coming soon and then he doesn't show up? James might have recalled that word from David. He probably counseled them by saying, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry." In other words, God's timetable might not be the same as ours. As Christians, we still grow impatient with God. We see how people suffer because of storms, wars, many other terrible things that happens to some while they are here on this earth. And we ask the question, why doesn't God intervene? Why were all of those people killed in Southern Asia? We watch loved ones die, sometimes prematurely. A mother or father taken away from a family. A little child, 4 or 5 years old, is suddenly taken. And we ask sometimes rather impatiently, didn't God give us a promise? Isn't there somewhere that you read, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Then comes that question that is often asked so impatiently. Where is he? Especially when I need him the most. Or it might even come from two concerned parents. They're committed to the Lord Jesus, and their children have strayed from Christ. They raised them in the faith, and they ask, what about God's promise? He has said that my promise will not return void. Why don't these kids of ours return to the faith in which they were raised, where Christ could be honored as their Savior and Lord? Is this going to happen ever? Doesn't God want this to happen? You see the impatience there? James writes here, quote, don't grumble against each other's. Brothers, or you will be judged. Don't we become impatient not only with God, but with other people too? I find myself asking some questions. How can a Christian act like this? I find it difficult sometimes to accept the behavior of people who are comparatively new in the faith. It seems that they never grow up in any sense of the word. Why does someone say that they have come to Christ, and then they find themselves terribly negligent regarding the reading of the scriptures or going to church? Really pretty easy to really go after that individual. I always thought it was from God. When my wife or somebody perhaps more mature in the Christian faith than I was, to say, aren't you being a little bit impatient with your judgment? They have confessed Christ as their Savior and Lord, and now they begin this great, great challenge of living for Him. That's not easy. We've got to be patient with them. We sometimes even get impatient as far as our own being is concerned. We wonder, why don't I grow spiritually? Why am I as I am? Why do I continue to live in these same sins? How spiritually dumb can I be? It is good for us to remember that God is not done with us yet. Our justification and our relationship with Him was started when Jesus Christ became our Savior. But you know, friend, then begins that long Christian walk. And in that Christian walk, there has to be patience. And that's where I am the most vulnerable, or you're the most vulnerable. God is willing to forgive us and to keep working with us on this matter of patience together with many other sins. Why not let Him? Satan wants us to be discouraged with our growth in the faith. That means he feels like he's gaining the victory. Be patient with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. But how can I become more patient? I'd like to share two things with you that have helped me a great deal on my way to a more patient life, and I am still in the process of becoming. The first is, when I am impatient with God, and I'm impatient with others, and I'm even impatient with myself, I look back, and I see how far God has come in His promises. But again, His timetable doesn't happen to be my timetable. So I have to claim the promise that He is faithful and He will walk with me. When I see how some new converts to Christ are growing, I stop being impatient and rejoice in the work he is doing in the hearts of so many, and that helps me with those who don't seem to be growing. Maybe the day will come when they will. When I look into my own heart, it is only the Holy Spirit who could have possibly brought me as far as I have come. And I realize that I've still got a long way to go. But if you take things in retrospect, then I begin to see the hand of God working. I sometimes am very cautious about saying this is the will of God. I think sometimes I venture out on my own, and I don't know whether God has anything to do with it or not. But I know, when I look back, I see that hand walking with his promises and making them true in the lives of other people and in my life as well. If my friend Pete's impatience often leads him to temper tantrums, which are unbecoming to a Christian, let me tell you, my friend Clayton's promises are really an inspiration to me. I stood with him by his wife's casket a few weeks ago. She had only been sick for 7 hours, and God suddenly, in an afternoon's time, came and took her home to be with him. As we stood there in the closing moments of her life, he edged up to her ear, and I heard him whisper, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. No anger." That's God working patience in us. Stay with him, friend. He's not only saved you, he really wants you to be a mature Christian person. Amen. Father, we give thanks to you for your love, but also your patience with us. We confess that you could have easily cast us aside, but patiently you worked with us, first to bring us to faith, and then to help us in our Christian walk. Lord, we pray for each one who has heard this message today, some of them riding down the highways in their cars, some of them at home, sick and shut in, some of them indifferent to the Word of God, and some of them anxious to be fed. Help us to lean on you with a good devotional life. We ask it in Christ's name. Hear us then as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought you peace and personal joy through the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon gifts from our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry. If you would like information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, contact our office at 1-888-693-2484. You may also write Christian Crusaders at P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. If you wish, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484 or 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.